Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
We're joined in this half of the show by Aaron Sanchez. He had hosted The Melting Pot, which was a great show on the Food Network with fellow chef Alex Garcia. He's executive chef of two restaurants in New York, Paladar and Centrico. He's the author of a book called La Comida del Barrio. And most recently, he was a contender on the Food Network's The Next Iron Chef.
Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show. You know what I say to all the guys we've had come on the show from The Next Iron Chef is, and what we have to remind our listening audience is, The Next Iron Chef is accomplished chefs in their own right that are contending in this show with other accomplished chefs. It's not like Top Chef, which is the young person looking for a break, you know. So this is a very different sort of a show, and it's very interesting. But the real contest is running a restaurant every day, or in your case, running two restaurants every day. But what prompted you, what did you feel, what was it like to go on to a competition reality show? I know you were a contender on Iron Chef once, but what was it like being on this show?
Well, you know, this particular format was extremely challenging and very difficult to kind of endure on a day-to-day basis because, you know, my original motivation and inspiration for doing this was just to be able to show my wares against some of the best chefs in the country, and just to be selected, especially being the only one from New York City, I thought was a really big deal considering how many fantastic chefs there are in this town. And for me to be chosen as an NYC representative was really cool for me, and I just wanted an opportunity to show people and share a little bit of my passion and how it relates to a cultural context, which is obviously my background, and I wanted to make sure that everybody had a little bit of insight about what I'm about.
Well, let's just give people some background for a second. On The Next Iron Chef, one of the things that they did that I really enjoyed is they picked chefs from all over the country. They didn't necessarily, you know, it wasn't all people from New York City or all people from California. The people were literally bespeckled around the country as far as the contestants go. One of the things you just said, Aaron, was you wanted to show people what your cuisine was all about. Why don't you tell the folks here, just that in case they didn't see Next Iron Chef or didn't understand maybe what you were doing, where that perspective comes from?
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, I kind of exist in two different worlds with my food. My restaurant Paladar is more of a casual Nuevo Latino bistro where I take and influences from all over Latin America, the Caribbean, South, Central America, obviously Mexico, which is my background, has a huge element in the food. But what I do, what I think differentiates me from a lot of the other Latin restaurants, is I work with a lot of local farmers, and I'm a big proponent of sustainable local agriculture. So I integrate a seasonality twist to my food, which I think kind of sets me apart. And it gives me a lot of kind of, you know, spiritual satisfaction to be able to support farmers and really capitalize on seasonal produce. And then the other restaurant, Centrico, is more of a contemporary spin on a lot of classic Mexican dishes. Obviously, as well, a huge part of seasonality goes to play in that restaurant as well. But, you know, it's a different audience. It's in Tribeca, so it really attracts a different crowd, a little bit more food savvy. And so it's a really nice contrast to have both restaurants and kind of exist in those both different stratospheres.
Why don't you tell us how that works? The, you know, being a seasonal restaurant, when you're talking about being in New York City and Mexican or traditionally Mexican or Nuevo Latino ingredients, how you incorporate those and
well, it's challenging. Like, you know, if you look at the gamut, if you look at what are the building blocks of flavor in Latin and Mexican cuisines, you're talking about elements of corn, tomatoes, chilies, these sorts of things, and I won't put corn on my menu unless it's corn season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a very traditional dish that people seem to really love, which are called esquites, which you find, which is grilled corn smothered with mayonnaise, chili, lime, and cheese. And people seem to go gaga over it, but I'm not going to serve that in February or January. So that's one of the challenges that I face, and the tomatoes as well. So, I mean, obviously I have tomatoes, and you know, but they're in a cooked fashion. I won't feature them on their own, so to speak. And so Absolutely. It's challenging. But the beauty of cooking in New York is that we're a place that experiences seasons. So I think it's important to pay attention to those things.
Yeah, Francis and I were joking about a restaurant here in Jersey that we went to in, like, February or something. They said local tomatoes on their menu. I was like, oh, I hope not.
Yeah, hope not for sure.
And yeah, those February tomatoes can be a little hard.
You guys must have the great, because, you know, for me, New Jersey is like the California of the East Coast, man. There's the best produce, in my opinion, comes from New Jersey.
Do you know what's a funny thing? We buy it from a lot of local farms directly. We deal with a couple of farmers who we actually get involved in their planting and contract with them early to...
And it's nice being only 5 miles away, absolutely.
Well, and you know, we contract with them to take... We say, okay, well, you know, plant these tomatoes and we'll buy them all when they're up and we'll use what we can and we'll put up what you know, what goes beyond what our needs are immediately. But for a lot of our produce, we go... It seems counterintuitive. We go to the Union Square Green Market every Wednesday, which is in New York.
Of course.
Because that's where, you know, 12 New Jersey farmers are at that green market.
Or 20, yeah.
And, well, 20 farmers, well, many farmers from all around, you know, the whole region. But if we go to the green market, it's all in one place, believe it or not. It lets me send my van with one guy to one place, even though I pre-order, I'll call the farmers before and say, okay, what do you got this week?
Yeah.
But it's funny, we drive to New York. We, a New Jersey restaurant, drive to New York to buy New Jersey produce from New Jersey farmers.
And, of course, we buy Jersey produce from all over the place here, yeah, too, as well. But
well, that's awesome. But, good for you guys.
But this brings me to another point. You know, it's funny. I really like Iron Chef and The Next Iron Chef and Top Chef. Those are the ones I like. A lot of the other TV reality shows I don't care for.
We like to refer to them as unreality shows.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the thing about The Iron Chef that really strikes me as I'm looking at talented chefs like yourself, like Tracy Desjardins, you know, Jill Davey, established chefs. And I'm looking at you guys being presented with... Jill Davey was eliminated in a molecular gastronomy challenge. You were eliminated in a come up with an airline cuisine in, what did they give you, 45 minutes, an hour?
90 minutes.
90 minutes. And I think to myself, you know, I see how this uses some of the skills that a chef uses every day. But, you know, the molecular gastronomy one I thought was way out there. And yep. I think that this coming up with the airline cuisine and coming up with it in 15 minutes, or 90 minutes, you know, figuratively 15 minutes, I just... Somehow that doesn't seem all that relevant to me.
To what you do.
To what a great chef needs to be able to do.
That's a very good point. And, you know, I think a lot of people declined to participate in this show for the simple fact is that a lot of chefs obviously have very strong egos and cannot deal with being critiqued. And I think that says a lot about the character of the people that participated in the show is that they were willing to have their food critiqued, willing to be exposed in a lot of ways, and that is not for everybody.
Oh, now I think that's very true, and I think that people who really, you know, had, you know, brass ones to go on the show, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I'm wondering if, like, let's pick Paul Bocuse, historically anyone, or, you know, Ferran Adrià today, or Guy Savoie. Now, no one would argue that those are among the best chefs in the world. But does that mean that they can come up with airline cuisine in 90 minutes?
That's a good point.
You know, I mean, would they get their butts handed to them on this show?
I guess
but does that have any relevance to whether or not they're amazing chefs?
Well, you know, I had a great piece of advice once from a chef, and he said to me, Aron, you have to go into work every day imagining that 5 bad things are going to happen. Mm. And then when 3 bad things happen, it's been a good day.
What do you do when 12 bad things happen?
Well, you know,
I
have to say, what comes to mind is just earlier in the week when the fire department was at the restaurant. It was a false alarm, thank heaven. But as I was standing on my own roof, looking, you know, like a fire watcher, thinking, I think that was my 4th bad thing of the day. That's why it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, so you're right. What is the relevance, and how is it applicable to our daily kind of grind that we're involved in? And a lot of people might argue that it has no relevance. But the one thing I can tell you is that all the emotions, all the way that you react to these challenges are very telling.
Mm-hmm.
And I also believe that they also, you know, that translates to how you react to kind of crisis situations or tense situations at your restaurant.
Mm.
And how you treat others, which is very important, because we all know that restaurant business, you're only as good as your staff.
Mm-hmm.
You're
yeah.
only as good as the last plate you put out.
Well,
and I think that's one of the things that we all said in the show is that, you know, here we are, any chef can have a bad day. And one thing that we all agreed on, all the chefs being, and you know, and just so you know, out of the 8 chefs, 6 of them are my good friends.
That's
and,
great.
And, you know, we all have a huge amount of respect for each other. And I mean, Maru is one of the most, Maru used to be Chris's boss.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and Tracy used to be Chris's boss.
Right.
We have to leave it there and take a quick break and come back. But we're going to come back and talk more with Aaron Sanchez recently of The Next Iron Chef about what's going on there with that show. It's very interesting stuff with some really accomplished chefs, and we'll talk more about it in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, 1450 WCTC. The time is 11:46.
I think it's great that more and more restaurants are offering larger selections of wine by the glass. Unfortunately, I often find those by-the-glass wines flat or spoiled. It's been my experience that most wine preservation systems just don't work, until now. The Vinfinity system was invented by Armando Luis, a mechanical engineer with over 25 years' experience in the wine industry. Vinfinity has 3 U.S. patents, but it's so simple I could kill myself for not inventing it first. Vinfinity creates a precise vacuum in the bottle that preserves the wine. Too much vacuum or too little and the wine is damaged. Vinfinity never needs gas and requires little maintenance. One Vinfinity system preserves any number of wines. We use just one system for both of our restaurants, and we're not alone. Some of the best restaurants in the country are taking on the Vinfinity system. The guest gets a large selection of wines by the glass in great condition, and the restaurant eliminates waste. Tell your favorite restaurant about it. If you own a restaurant, install it. Find out more at VinfinitySystem.com or call 201-988-5953.
Hey everybody, welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants. We're talking with Aaron Sanchez of Paladar and Centrico Restaurants in New York City. He was also most recently on The Next Iron Chef, where accomplished chefs go on a reality show and cook for you under stressful situations. Now, you guys all, I mean, basically most of the chefs on this show knew each other.
Yeah.
Before the show, right? How did the dynamics of that work out?
Well, you know, it was very interesting because the first day we arrived for the shooting and we realized who's going to be on the roster, so to speak, and there was a really huge there was a lot of tension in the air because we were familiar with each other's work, but we really didn't realize who's going to prevail, and some of us weren't as familiar with each other as some of the other ones, but me personally, I knew quite a bit of the chefs and I knew what I was in for,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that really automatically turned up the heat, so to speak, in the kitchen, and we knew that we had to bring our A game.
Well, yeah. but with all those different personalities and all those different cooking styles, you know, we talked about earlier in the show, you know, and actually Alton Brown mentions in the last night's show, you know, every chef has a bad day, and today was yours basically, and what he said was, and it wasn't that bad, it just wasn't as good as the other three, you know. It seems to me that the talent level here is very high.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. And when I mean by high, and you know, if I can elaborate on that,
sure.
is that the chefs that participate in the show have a way of reacting to things in such a way that kind of gets the best out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Some people either fold, or some people strive, and I think that's what was the common thread that everybody had here. They weren't, you know, they weren't pooping the bed, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
People, well, we talked before about crisis management, and yeah. that's so much of what you have, and a lot of these people aren't just chefs. They're also restaurant owners. I think just about everybody on the show is also a restaurant owner.
Yep.
And that gives you a diverse set of skills. If you can be, I mean, there's a very, very small amount of people who at the top level can be both a chef and a restaurant owner.
Uh-huh. I mean, I own both my restaurants, so it's like...
Well,
I can tell you, you wear a lot of hats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's funny because we're not chefs, right? Well, one of the things that's very interesting is I made allusion to earlier, there was a false alarm that the fire department was called to the restaurant. As I was standing on the roof of my restaurant at night with the deputy chief of the fire department looking for the fire that wasn't there, I thought to myself, I'm on the roof too much. When, in the job description of owning a restaurant, I never imagined how much time I'd spend on the roof or down fixing the plumbing. You know, it is. I think that's one of the things that's appealing about a restaurant is it is a. You know, there's a lot of adrenaline in it. It's unpredictable.
I have a vision of myself when we first opened Catherine Lombardi just a couple years ago, our second restaurant. The water heater is in a room that was too cold, and the pipe and the hot water pipe burst. And fighting my way into the scalding water that was shooting out of the burst pipes to turn the water off and being completely soaked with scalding water. Doesn't seem like that's definitely not in the publicity brochure for owning your own restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing you could say to me that would piss me off is say that's not my job, sir.
Yeah, that doesn't really fly.
Yeah, that's an express ticket out of here, you know?
Yeah, but, yeah, sure.
No, yeah. But the one thing I could just say about the whole experience is that, you know, the chefs, we all agreed, if we were to do this show 5 times in a row, I think a different person would prevail each time.
I'm almost sure of it. It seems like, Francis and I talked about this a lot. You know, we were very surprised to see Tracy Desjardins.
Don't understand. When she was there, we were like, we're done.
Right.
Dude, that's Tracy, you know, believe Desjardins.
Right, 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 exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm like, she's going to be there till the end. Right. She has more experience than all of us.
Yeah, she was eliminated first, and that was crazy. You know, I'm going to throw something out there that if I were a smarter businessman than I am, I wouldn't throw it out there. But I'll ask whoever does steal this idea, please just invite me to be on the show as a guest somehow. But I think the more interesting reality show at this point would be to take if they can get the five of you on a project that lasts a couple of months long.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't it be an interesting show to open a restaurant with all of those chefs? Now, wouldn't that be an interesting thing? Because that's when you'd kill each other.
Yeah, that would be very tough.
Because we know how to. Because you guys know how to compete, but I don't know that you guys could all work.
Sure, absolutely. That would be drama infused.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to come back in just a moment and talk more with Aaron Sanchez.
I have a question about the show from last week that we must ask.
All right, well, okay. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Aaron Sanchez in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, 1450 WCTC. The time is 11:55. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. We're talking with Aaron Sanchez, most recently of The Next Iron Chef and owner and executive chef of Paladar and Centrico restaurants in Manhattan.
So, Aaron, I'm watching the show, I guess it was Sunday night, and I one of the directives that they give you on The Next Iron Chef before you all start is to season your food more heavily because, you know, the challenge was to feed airline passengers. To season your food more heavily because at altitude you don't perceive taste as much.
Yes.
Then when they all tried your food, they were not at altitude.
Yeah, a lot of people had pointed that out to me.
It struck me as odd.
That's right. They said, season your food more because it tastes differently in the air.
They said, season it more vigorously, and then
they didn't go up in the air and taste it. They tasted it on the ground.
They tasted it on the ground.
Was that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that, you know, you can sit here and debate. A lot of people felt that Andrew Knowlton was very hard on me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had it out for me. You know, yeah. I heard that out from a lot of people. And you know what? I'm here to defend the judges as a contestant, okay? And I think this is very important. One of the mantras that I live by is no excuses, just results.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could sit here and debate all day why, you know, this happened or this happened or this guy had it out for me or conspiracy theories and all that and the like. You know what? You know, New York chefs are notorious for complaining when business is off. You know, and I remember the late Johnny Apple, R.W. Apple, mm-hmm. said, do good food and people will come.
That's true.
That's the bottom line.
That's true.
You do good food, people will recognize it, and they understand. So there's no excuses. And, you know, I thought all the critiquing on the show was spot on. I thought every comment that Donatella, Michael, and Andrew made had relevance and validity.
Although I have to say, Donatella is definitely playing the Paula Abdul role in on that panel.
Well, it has to be, but you know, I just think at the end of the day, they you know, I thought it was as fair as it can get. You know what I mean? Because, you know, these things are always, you know, you would always find flaws.
Aaron, sure. Aaron, I'm afraid we need to leave it there because the news is coming up and there's
I'm
lots
sorry
of...
sorry about that.
We have to find out all the things that are going on in the world. Thank you so much for coming on the show with us.
Thanks, Aaron.
Bye-bye.
The restaurants are Paladar and Centrico in New York City. You can find out more about Aaron and his restaurants and The Next Iron Chef on our website, restaurantguysradio.com. I hope you've enjoyed the hour listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, 1450 WCTC. The time is 12 noon.